They don't trust you and me to defend them, so they're going to do it for themselves. There's been a lot of food stockpiled over the last couple of weeks. They all think they're self-sufficient, and they're not letting anyone over their district's boundary. That's going to cause trouble, because I'm getting reports of people in the outlying villages to the east abandoning their land and coming in looking for a refuge. Our residents aren't letting them through. It's a siege mentality out there. People are waiting for Terence Smith to come back with a conquering army and hoping they can hold out in the meantime. How far away are the invaders? I'm not sure. We're judging their progress by the way our communications with the villagers fail. It's not constant, but I'd say their main force is no more than 10 or 15 kilometers from Durringham's eastern districts. The majority are on foot, which should give us 2 or 3 days' breathing space. Of course, you and I know there are nests of them inside the city as well. I've had some pretty weird stories about bogeymen and poltergeists coming in for days now. What do you want to do? Colin asked. Revert to guarding our strategic centers, the spaceport, this sector, possibly both hospitals. I'd like to say the port as well, but I don't think I've got the manpower. There have been several desertions this week, mostly among the new deputies. Besides, nearly all of the boats have left now. There's been a steady exodus of fishing craft and even some barges since the paddle boat convoy cast off this morning, so I can't see a lot of point. Okay, Colin said with his head in his hands. Do it. He glanced out of the office window at the sun-lashed rooftops. There was no sign of any of the usual fires that had marked the city's torment over the last weeks. Can we hang on until Terence returns? I don't know. At the moment we're so busy fighting each other that I couldn't tell you what sort of resistance we can offer to the invaders. Yeah, that sounds like Lalonde through and through. Candace sat behind her big desk, watching the situation reports paint unwelcome graphics across the console displays and issuing orders through her staff. There were times when she wondered if anyone out there was even receiving them, let alone obeying them. Half of her sheriffs were deployed around the spaceport, spending the afternoon digging in and positioning some large maser cannons to cover the road. The rest took up position around the administration district in the city, covering the governor's dumper, the sheriff's headquarters, various civic buildings, and the Confederation Navy office. 5 combined teams of LDC engineers and sheriffs went round all the remaining dumpers they could reach, powering down the fusion generators. If the invaders wanted Durringham's industrial base such as it was, Rexxew was determined to thwart them. The helium-3 and deuterium fuel was collected and put into storage at the spaceport. By mid-afternoon, the city was operating on electron matrix power reserves alone. That, more than anything else, brought home the reality of the situation to the majority. Fights and squabbles between gangs and districts ended. Those barricades which had been erected were strengthened. Sentry details were finalized. Everyone headed home. The roads fell silent. The rain, which had held off all day, began to slash down. Beneath its shroud of miserable low cloud, Durringham held its breath. Stuart Danielson watched the rain pounding away on the office windows as the conditioner hummed away efficiently, sucking the humidity from the air. He had made the office his home over the last week. Ward Molecular had seen a busy time of it. Everybody in town was keen to have the ancillary circuits on their electron matrix cells serviced, especially the smaller units which could double as rifle power magazines at a pinch. He'd sold a lot of interface cables as well. The business was doing fine. Darcy and Laurie would be pleased when they got back. They hadn't actually said he could sleep over when they left him in charge, but with the way things were it was only right. Twice he'd scared off would-be burglars. His sleeping bag with the inflatable mattress was comfy, and the office fridge was better than the one in his lodgings. He'd brought the microwave cooker over from the cabin out back of the warehouse. So now he had all the creature comforts. It was turning into a nice little sojourn. Gavin Hoff stayed late most nights, keeping him company. Neither of them had seen Cole Estey since the night after the first anti-Ivet riot. Stuart wasn't much bothered by that. Gavin opened the door in the glass partition wall and stuck his head round. Doesn't look like Mr. Crowther is coming to pick up his unit now. It's gone for.